Welcome to North Point Ministries podcast. This message is the fourth in the six-part series, Taking Care of Business. In this message, Andy Stanley reminds us that as Christians, we are to be the lights in the darkness. When we focus on reflecting God's character where we work, people will see that our faith is about a relationship, not a religion.
Well, as you know, we're in our fourth part in this series, Taking Care of Business. And this is something we all wrestle with. It's something I wrestle with. It's something that's just difficult. A sermon just won't do it. A series just won't do it. The idea that God is really interested in our jobs. And for those of you who are in some kind of industry or business where you actually see the results and you actually help people, maybe you can kind of stretch and think, well, maybe God's interested in this because I help people. For most of us, you know, you're in businesses that's just all about the bottom line and making a living and getting salary and benefits and putting your kids through college. And you know God cares about you and your family, but the idea that somehow specifically what you do matters to God, you know, that's kind of a stretch. And yet we looked at a verse of scripture that said, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. That is, you're to go to work and do it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. That is, that as Christians and those of us who are following God and trying to follow God, we're to go to work as if we were working for the Lord, as if God really was interested in our job, the specific thing that we do, even though most of us know we could be replaced. We are not indispensable in any kind of way. And yet the idea of doing this, so we all went to work that first Monday after the first sermon, remember, committed to work, doing our work as unto the Lord. And I know that many of you have tried to maintain that attitude, some successfully, but it's just difficult because we get back into the same old grind. And yet as Christians, that's what we've been called to do our work as if we were working for God and to do our very best. And whereas we get all caught up in where we're working and how much we're making, God is saying, hey, changing jobs is fine, but I'm interested in how you're doing where I've called you to do what you do right now. How are you doing? Where you are. Are you doing your work as unto me? Then we've talked about other facets of that. Today, as we continue this series, Taking Care of Business, I want to talk a little bit for a few minutes this morning about our responsibility, those of us who are Christians, of taking our faith and what we believe into the marketplace in such a way to develop relationships so that God would actually use us in the marketplace to lead people in his direction. I want to talk about being a faithful witness, or as the scripture says this morning, a light in those environments. And I want to go ahead and give you a little warning. For some of you, this is the reason that you're not a Christian. This is the reason you don't even like Christians. Because I'm going to talk about talking to other people about what we believe. And if you're not a Christian or a religious person, or maybe you used to be, one of your pet peeves is, why do Christians feel like they need to tell everybody what they believe? In fact, you're here this morning to get the person who kept inviting you off your back. They kept inviting you and inviting you, said, okay, I'm going to go one time and then, you know, back off. I went to your church already. Why can't you let me believe what I want to believe? You believe what you want to believe. You know, why do we have to, why this pressure for me to believe on what you believe? And I can understand that because, and sometimes Christians, we're just the most obnoxious people. But let me try to explain that to you. And I don't know if I'll do a very good job, just a little bit. One reason why we feel so compelled. Here's why. It's because we feel like we've discovered a wonderful thing. And we just want other people to know about it. Now, if you've been offended by the way Christians have approached that, I can understand that. But you've done the same thing. I mean, right, ladies? You know, you found some new skincare product, and you got on the phone and went, oh, you got to try this. You got to try this. You go to Rich's at such a counter, ask for Sheila, you know, and you know, you call your friends because I have found a wonderful thing. Guys, remember when they first were, you found out they were going to build a Home Depot within your neighborhood, you know, close by. You were so excited. It's like, hey, you won't believe it, buddy. You know, we don't have to drive to Marriott anymore. It's going to be right. You know, we're so excited, you're telling all your friends, Home Depot's coming. Or, you know, whatever your deal is, you know, you whatever your thing is, it's golf pro shop, you know, whatever. We all, when we get excited about something, our natural tendency is to share it with people because we've made a great discovery. Well, for those of us who are Christians, the reason we talk about it and the reason we try to find ways to talk about it is because we've made a discovery. And not only, it's not just a new way of thinking or a religious system, because everybody's got a religious system. Everybody believes something. But it's impacted our lives. It's changed our families. It's changed the way we handle our money. It's changed the way we do friendships and relationships. And we're just different. And so there's something in us that we, you know, we just want to tell people. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how to gracefully and tactfully go into the workplace and tell people. So if that kind of bothers you, I understand that. But that's, we're just excited. So just bear with us. Now, there's another group of you today. This is going to rub you the wrong way because you're a Christian and you're, you know, you've been a Christian a long time, religious person, but you were raised to think this way, that church is where you talk about God and work is where you talk about work. and you believe in Jesus and you believe in God and you say your prayers, but for you, you would say, Christianity is personal and it's private. What I believe about God is between me and God, and I worship God, and I believe the deal. I even read my Bible. That's between me and God. It's not between me and anybody else. And here's how you were raised to think, maybe how you think. That when you're at church, you talk about church. When you're at work, you talk about work. Sometimes when you're at church, you talk about work, but you never talk about church at work, right? When you're at work, it's work. When it's church, it's church. Sometimes you may run into a buddy at church and it's okay to bring up business, but you certainly don't go into your business environment and talk about God and church. That's like weird, weird, you know, off. That's just, you know, business is business, you know, church is church, you know, home is home. You know, everybody has all these categories. Well, I need you to know that that's a very interesting approach. Has nothing to do with Christianity. It's not anywhere in the Bible. And whoever raised you to believe that was mistaken. Now, here's what they were thinking. They were thinking everybody has their own religious system, and everybody's religious system is their business, and your business is my business, and that's understandable. The problem is this. That is fine as long as you don't believe that everybody spends eternity somewhere. That is fine as long as you believe everybody goes to heaven anyway. But Christianity doesn't teach that. And so consequently, erecting this wall between our personal lives and our business and work life, not only is it unbiblical, it doesn't even make any sense. And here's why. Because in Christianity, and one of the differences between Christianity and many of the world religions, Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religious system. It's not just a belief system. It's a relationship because through Christ, we were allowed to enter into a relationship with God. We can call him Father. Now, this will make you uncomfortable. The New Testament says we can call him Daddy. I don't know. That's a little close. But that's in the Bible, okay? Abba, Father. It means Daddy. It was the most personal phrase. We can have that kind of relationship with God. And here's the deal. When you're in a relationship with someone, you're in that relationship regardless of where you go, right? I mean, when you're in a relationship, when you get out of your home, you know, you don't say, well, I'm in a relationship on this piece of real estate. But once I go over here to this piece of real estate, I'm no longer in that real estate because relationships are not geographically oriented, right? A relationship is a relationship. And to say, well, in church and at home, I'll do the God thing and talk about God. But once I go to work, because, you know, work is for work. You know what that's like? Man, that would be like you saying to your wife, you know, honey, at home, we're married. At home, I'm a husband. At home, I'm your husband. We're in a relationship. But when I go to work on Monday, I'm not a husband anymore. I'm not really married to you. Now, at home, I'm going to act married. But when I get to work, I don't have to act married because work is work and home is home. In fact, I can't put your picture on my desk. You know, what would people think if I put my pictures from home on my desk? I mean, come on. It's one is one and one is the other. But, you know, and honey, when I get to work in the morning, I just got to let you know, I'm going to take off my ring. I'm going to leave it in my car because when I'm at work, it's work. And those of you wives who are smart would say, I tell you what, as long as you're leaving your ring in the car, why don't you live in the car until you understand that you're in a relationship with me and you can't leave marriage at home. And here's the deal. As you grow as a Christian, here's what we discover. You can't leave Christianity at home. You can't leave Christianity at church. That we're in a relationship. So consequently, we take it with us wherever we go. And that may be kind of new, so just let that sink in. There's another reason, though. There's an even more compelling reason why we have to learn to leverage our position at work for the sake of God's kingdom and not just financial gain. And it's found in the scripture. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. And in that incredible message, Jesus makes an interesting statement I want to read to you in just a minute. Before we do, I want to give you some context for this. Back when God established the nation of Israel, now you may not know this, when God established the nation of Israel, the reason he established that nation was for that nation to be a light or a reflection of the nature of God to all the other nations. God's original intent and purpose, if you read the Old Testament, was that the nation of Israel would be a different kind of nation, and all the surrounding nations would look at Israel and say, wow, we want to know about your God. And that the nation of Israel would be a light to all the surrounding nations. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says it this way. He says this. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles. And he goes on, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I will make you a light to the Gentiles that you'll bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. He said, Israel, you as a nation, you're going to be the delivery boy. You're going to be the messenger boy for the message of salvation. And people are going to come to Israel and they're going to watch Israel and they're going to learn all about me. Well, what happened is Israel lost their mission. They got off track. And by the time Jesus showed up, the last thing on the leaders of Israel's mind was exporting their religion. When Jesus showed up, they had gotten into a defensive posture where they were just trying to survive. They were just trying to keep temple worship alive. They were just trying to keep Judaism alive. Rome, you know, had them by the throat and was taxing them to death. And they weren't on a mission to export their belief in God anywhere. They were just trying to hold down the fort because they were an oppressed people. Well, into that mindset and into that culture, Jesus walks in, and here's what he says to a group of Jewish people on a hilltop one day, on a mountainside one day, and he brought back to their mind the saying of Isaiah. Here's what Jesus said. He said to them, verse 14, Matthew 5, 14, "You are the light of the world." He's saying, look, nation, God put you here to be a light to the world. The world is in darkness. The world's trying to figure out, is there a God? The world's trying to figure out which God is God. The world's trying to figure out, how do you know God? What about heaven? What about sacrifice? The world has all these questions. And Jesus says, you, O nation, you were originally intended to be the light to the world, that the people can look at you, nation of Israel, and understand what God is like. He goes on. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, when he said that to them, here's what came to their mind. They all knew what it was like to travel from city to city. And one thing they knew in that culture is you never wanted to be out traveling at night. That when you planned your travels, you planned to be able to get from village to village, town to town during the day because you didn't spend the night out between towns. You didn't spend the night out on the side of the road. So a traveler is traveling with the family, the sun starts to go down, and their hope and their prayers that they would make it to the next town or the next city. And as the sun would go down and the lights in the town would come up, they would see that city on a hill because they built cities on a hill for defense purposes, and they would see that city and they would know, oh, we're almost there, we're almost safe. And Jesus says, a city on a hill at night, it can't be hidden. In fact, it's not supposed to be hidden. A city on a hill is a beacon of hope to the weary traveler who's afraid to spend the night on the side of the road. Then he goes on, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither, or in the same way, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. He's saying, look, when the sun's going down and you're in your home, what do? You light a lantern. They're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And what do you do with the lantern? Do you put a bowl over it? Well, no. You put it up in the highest place you can on a stand so that it gives light to everyone who's in the darkness. He says, that's what a light does. And he says, and you, he's saying to the nation, you are the light of the world. Of course, they're going, we are? You know, we don't feel much of a light. You know, we're just kind of hanging on for dear life. Then he says this, look at this. In the same way, verse 16, just like the hill and the lamp, in the same way, let your light shine before men. That is, live your life in a way that's noticeable to be men, to men, that they may see your good deeds. That is, there's something that stands out about you that's different than the people around you. And here's the catch, and praise your Father in heaven. Or literally, and associate your good deeds with your Father in heaven. That's what the idea of the verse is. That people would see your good deeds, they'd see your life, and they would say, you know, that's different. Now, there's something different about you. The way you know, that's different. And that somehow, look up here, somehow you would help them make the connection between how you live your life and the fact that you have a relationship with your Father in heaven. They may first look at you, he would say, but eventually we want you to turn their attention to their Father in heaven. He said, that's what it means to be a light. That was the purpose of the nation of Israel, so that the other nations would say, what a great nation. And they'd say, you ought to meet our God. And he says, and to those of you Jewish people here in my audience, he would say, you know, you're to live a life that people would say, what a great life you have. And you would say, yeah, you ought to meet my God. Now, an interesting thing happened. The Jews refused to take up this responsibility. They didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. They never understood their responsibility in terms of exporting what they had to the world. And so they crucified Christ, went on their merry way. Jesus rose from the dead, and he gathered a group of followers outside of Jerusalem. And before he left this earth, here's what he said. He said, now, from here on out, that light thing, that's your responsibility. And as you read the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament, here's what we find. The church took the responsibility of Israel. and that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be the light to the world. That if the world's going to discover, what is God like? Is there a God? How do you connect? What about heaven? What about hell? You know, how do I live my life? Where do I find hope? If there's ever going to be hope, the church is it. We are the light to the world. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of environments need light? Starts with a D. Dark, right, let's say it together. What kind? Dark environments, right. If, you know, you don't, nobody's sitting in here, maybe down here on the floor, but other than the floor, nobody's in here going, but we need a light in here. There's plenty of light in here. If I were to take a flashlight, it would not even change anything about the light in this room. If I were to strike a match, it would be unnoticeable. There's so much light. You see, the places that need light are dark places. And you as Christians, whether you knew it or not, whether you want to know it or not, whether you understood your responsibility or not, we as Christians have been given by God the responsibility of being a light in dark places. That means whenever we go into a dark place, that is a place where it's unsure about God and what do I believe and what about sin and all this stuff, we are to be a light. Specifically, we're to live our lives in such a way that people would ultimately associate our lives with our relationship to our Father in heaven. Now, here's the question for you. Where are the dark environments of your life? Let me eliminate a few. Church is not one of them. You don't need to be a light in the church. The church is well lit. We're fine. In fact, even people who don't believe in God are behave here. Have you noticed that? See, you're not a Christian. Listen. You're not a Christian. And you come to church and you think, these people are all a bunch of perfect people. If they knew what I was like, you know what? You're bumping into shoulders with people who are 10 times worse than you are, but they're all scared to death to be themselves because they're with the church people. I mean, there's so much light on this piece of real estate. I mean, you don't need to be a light here. I mean, the idea of trying to be a light in church is, it's irrelevant. It's well lit. We're fine. The environment where you're called to be a light is where it's dark. You know where else? I bet it's not dark for most of you. It's not dark in your home. Because you've established an environment in your home where you can start to talk about God and you're praying together and you're kind of moving in that direction. The truth is, for most of you in this room, the dark environment's where you work. I know that because I've visited some of the places where you work and I'm like, woo, you know, glad I don't work here, you know. I hear your stories. I mean, it's the culture we live in. And you come here and it's so refreshing and you sing and you worship. You go home, then you go to work and it's dark. And they're talking about stuff and they're doing stuff and they're expecting stuff. And I just have a feeling, if the Lord Jesus Christ could speak a word into your life related to this passage, he'd say, in the office, you're the light. Oh, and you're the light. You are the light of the office. You are the light of the third floor. You're the light of the industry. You're the light of your business. You're the light of the administrative assistants. You're the light of the board. You're it. It's a dark environment. There's confusion about God. There are people who are running in the opposite direction of God. There are people in overt rebellion to me. And in that environment, you are the light of the world. And you are to live your life in such a way that people see your good works and glorify or praise your Father in heaven, or literally, they're to see your lifestyle and they're to go, what's with that? And discover that it is because you have a relationship with your Father in heaven. It's not enough to be a good person. Somewhere along the way, you and I have to do something to help people make the connection. That's why he says that they may glorify your Father in heaven. He said to Israel, Israel, it's not just good that you be a good nation. You need to be the kind of nation that's pointing in the direction of your source of strength and power and insight, your heavenly Father. So here's the question. How do you do that? How do you be a light? How do you go to the work? See, some of you own the company. Some of you just started at a company. Some of you are part of a segment of the company. Where you are, how do you be a light? Because whether you like it or not, whether you want to be or not, you're a light. And like the nation of Israel, it could be you've lost your passion, you've lost your mission, and you're just trying to survive. And every night you pray, oh God, just protect me from the pagans. God, just, you know, just help me get through. And Lord, I want a different job. I hate those people. And God, strike them and get them. And, you know, they're just, oh. And Lord, I'm not going to invite them to church. They would corrupt the church. Just, you know, you've sort of fallen into the we, they, you know, us good guys over here who worship on Sunday. Then we just kind of put up with the bad guys during the week. Then we come back to church, you know. You guys go, what? Where did you get that? You're a city on a hill. You're a lamp in a dark room that's to be lifted up that people would say, whoa. and that somehow through your personality, begin to help people associate why you're the way you are with your relationship with your Father in heaven. Now, I want to give you some suggestions, all right? And these are things that I have learned from other people as I've watched people go into similar environments like yours and be incredibly successful. And in a few minutes, I'm going to show you a video, actually, of what a guy did. But I want to give you some quick suggestions, real quick. You can just write these down. Some of these are very intuitive. Some of them are not. The first word I want to give you is the word character. Character. Your character is the beginning of developing yourself as a light. And what do I mean by character? I mean that you simply do the right thing. We've talked about that for a couple of weeks. But here's the goal of doing the right thing and being a man or woman of character. You're to live your life in such a way to try to get people to ask a very important question. And the question is this: why? Why wouldn't you do that deal? Remember Ray's video? Why wouldn't you do the deal? Why wouldn't you sign that? Why wouldn't you travel there? Why didn't you take that promotion and go to another city? What's with you? Why wouldn't you call her? Why? Hey, come here. When we travel, you know, we all get together and after the deal, we're all heading off to the club. And every time you ask us to drop you off at the hotel first, what's up with that? Why? That you're to live your life in such a way that eventually somebody says why. And in asking why, you have an opportunity to associate your character with your relationship with your Father in heaven. Let me give you a little clue, and you know this, but just make sure. When people ask you why, don't say, because I'm a Christian. And obviously you're not. You know, I mean, you don't want to do that, okay? That's what you communicate. You know, if you were, so here's what you, here. What we want to communicate isn't I believe something. What we want to communicate is I'm in relationship with somebody. What we want to communicate is not simply I have a different belief system than you. What we want to communicate is I'm in a relationship. When I taught high school students, this is what I would teach them to do. I'd say, I want to teach you a phrase that when somebody asks you why you won't stay or smoke that or drink that or eat that or go there, you know, here's what you say. You say, because that would hurt the person I love the most. That would hurt the person I love the most. And we would practice it. The whole youth group would go, that would hurt the person I'd love. Now turn to your neighbor. That would hurt the person. Get that phrase in your head. So when you're in one of those tempting things and you don't have to say, because my mama said, or I just don't want to. No, come on, say, look, you know, I that would really hurt the person I love the most. See, that's about a relationship. And if you ask me any more questions, you know, then you've brought it on yourself when I start telling you about the person I'm in a relationship with. But I'm telling you, I can't go and I can't stay because that would just hurt the person that I love the most. Now, you got to figure out your own answer. But somewhere along the way in your character, somebody needs to ask why. Your light shining in such a way that they're going, whoa, what's with that? And you are ready to give an answer. Again, it's not, you don't have to give some super spiritual thing, but you need to be ready because your character is a way that you're light. The second thing is this, is information. One of the great things about living in our culture and about being in America are all the tools that we have. And some of you are great at this. I mean, some of you blow me away, the stories that you tell, and this is where I got the idea. Many of you have learned to use tools or give information. As you hear about a conflict in someone's home, you find out about a problem in the office, you notice somebody's going through a difficult time, to take them a book or a tape and you simply say, you know what? You know, you were sharing the other day, I heard you talk about it, or I overheard, or somebody mentioned, here's something that really helped me with that. I want to give it to you. Not, you need to read this, you know. But yeah, here's something that really helped me. It's just a tape. No, and you don't even have to bring it up again. But you need to think about what are the tools? What are those books, those short books, those tracks? What are those tapes? What are those specific messages that you could have? You know, Louis did a series some time ago on heaven, and we had bunches of people who bought a whole bunch of those tapes because they knew people in their office that were going through, had lost loved ones. And they said it was a great opportunity to say, you know what? I heard this message about heaven. It really helped me. You see, when somebody loses a loved one, to give them a tape about heaven, I mean, they're not going to, no, thank you. I mean, you know, they're going to soak it up. The point is, if you're tuned into what's happening in the office and with all the resources that are available to us today, what an awesome opportunity to simply say, here's something that really helped me. I just want to give this to you. Here's something that helped my wife and I. I just want to, hey, you know what? When my kids went through that, here's something that helped me. I want to give this to you. It's just information. It's a way of saying, here's how I am. Here's why I'm that way. I want to point you in the direction of an important relationship. The third one are invitations. Invitations. Fortunately, in this city, we have lots of places we can invite people to hear the things that are difficult for us to talk about. Men, I want to give you a huge, huge, huge heads up on this. There's a new organization called Men Step Up. Many of you have attended Men Step Up. Men Step Up is a Friday morning deal. There's three of them in the city of Atlanta. It meets from 6:30 to 7:30. And it is the most non-threatening environment in the world to take a man to. If there's someone in your office and you're thinking, I would love to somehow get him in front of something that's kind of pointing in the direction of Christ, and I'm afraid to bring it up. Here's a website. I want you to write it down, men. This is an awesome, non-threatening environment. And you can get on the website and find out more about what they do. But it is designed for the man who's got someone who they want to help give them a step, but I'm not going to invite them to church. I'm not going to give them a Bible. But I just want to expose them to why I am the way I am. Because men, let's face it, this is difficult stuff for us to talk about. In fact, there was a really funny story from our church. There were two guys that were best friends, spent lots of time together, and each one of them were invited to North Point by different people. And they started attending, but they were too embarrassed to tell each other. So they're both attending different services, and they're going for months and months, and they keep praying, God, give me the courage because I need to tell my buddy about, you know, what's going on. And their lives started changing, and finally, by accident one day, one said, something I've really been meaning to tell you. And the other guy goes, well, what? And he goes, well, I started going to church. And he's thinking the guy's going to go, oh, church. But the guy goes, me too. And they both were coming here. Well, they're best friends. Well, hey, for us guys, sometimes this whole thing is so sensitive. So you need a tool. You need help. Men, step up. It's the easiest step. Obviously, 7:22, we see many people who come to faith in Christ when somebody says, just go with me on Tuesday night. Kids stuff, our Christmas traditions, things that other churches are doing. But think about it. What could I invite someone to out of the office that specifically addresses the things that I think that they're dealing with? And just have the courage to make that invitation. What it is, it's a way of helping to explain, here's how I am, here's why I'm the way I am. It's all about a relationship. The fourth one is seasonal celebrations. Those of you who are own companies or partners in companies, here's an awesome opportunity that you have. Many people have started doing this. This past Easter, Jim Underwood, who is one of our elders and helped us get started as a church when we first began this organization, he's a partner in an accounting firm. And on Easter, on Good Friday before Easter, he has a breakfast. It's free for the people who want to come. He invites all of his employees, all of his clients. And he brings somebody in and they simply give an Easter message. It's his way of saying, hey, you appreciate the way I do my business. I want to be pretty overt about why I am the way I am. Years ago, I went to a similar event that John Whelan Holmes did. And John Whelan, some of you live in John Whelan neighborhoods, just had this huge breakfast over at the gallery. Hundreds of people were there, had all of his employees, all the subs, all the people he did business with, gathered them together, fed them breakfast, had someone get up and talk about why Easter, what's the big deal about Good Friday. Now, Jenny Pruitt, we talked about last week, every Christmas over at over in Cobb County, she gets a big ballroom at a hotel over there. And she invites in all of her agents, all their husbands, their families, all the people they do business with, several hundred people. And then she gets up and wishes them a Merry Christmas and has a pastor come in and talk about the meaning of Christmas. And basically it's her way of saying, I don't want you to think I'm just a good person. I'm a good person because I'm in relationship with a good God and I just want you to know about it. Now, in all three of those cases, and there's many more examples of that, men and women who've leveraged their position for the sake of the gospel, they all wrestled with, but I'm an owner, and what if people misunderstand, and what about? I mean, these aren't radical, you know, wild-eyed, you know, evangelists. These are just normal people who realize, you know what, some people are going to misunderstand, but I've been given an incredible opportunity. I'm the light. How can I leverage who I am for the sake of who I am related to? Ultimately. Then the last one, this is the one that really intrigues me, and I think a lot of you could do this. Lots of people are beginning to do on-site gatherings. That is morning Bible studies. They go to their boss, their president of the company, say, look, can I have a room? I just want it from 7 to 8. I'm just going to invite a few people in for Bible study. People started prayer groups, just things in the office. Again, so people begin to associate, why am I the way I am? It's because of who I'm related to. And one of the most fascinating ones I heard about a few months ago, a friend of mine, John Glover, I've known John since he was in high school. He came to me, he said, I just got to tell you what's going on in my office. And he began to tell me about this thing that he started called L squared over L. It's life lessons over lunch. And he had a burden for the people in his office. He's not a communicator or an evangelist, and yet he wanted to expose them to the kinds of things that had made a difference in his life. And so he took one of our resources and used it in a very unique way. And I want to let you listen to him tell the story of how he came up with this idea. This is John Glover.
In 1999, I had the opportunity to start my own business. It's litigation document services, and basically we make copies for law firms and help them with their document productions. We have about 50 employees downtown in Peachtree Center, and we run through the night 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we do have the three different shifts. Last year, there were several people within our company that were going through different hard times within their life. There was death to family members, hospitalization to themselves or family members, and real crisis times in their lives, so that it caused the whole company to really be faced with the question, what would I do if I died, or where would I go? And I felt like God was saying, okay, now's the opportunity. But I had reservations because of being the business owner and everything, but I felt like he was just saying, you don't have to go and save everybody in your office or even worry about saving anybody. Just make this one step of obedience and just do this one thing. All you have to do is buy lunch for your employees. That's all you have to do, and I'll do the rest. In church, in the resource center, I saw that there were the sermons in the series on DVD, and so I took that as an opportunity to share with the employees. So we started what we call L squared over L, and that's life lessons over lunch. And when I sent the memo out to everyone, basically I explained to them that we're all faced with different things in our lives and that we're not prepared for in life. School can't prepare you for things. You're just faced with certain situations and you don't have the answers to. And so this was a great opportunity for us to get a lunch and to watch some DVDs. Now, I just told them DVDs. I said, we'll start off with The Matrix. So, of course, that got some people interested in that. They didn't know exactly what it was, but they heard The Matrix. And so it was a great opportunity for them to see and to watch the DVD and also get lunch. But one of the requirements was that they sit through the entire lunch, and that they could only get the lunch if they watched the DVD. So it was a really great opportunity for them to see this and hear God's word and God's love for them and His pursuit for a relationship for them. Since that time, we have had people that love the DVDs. They will, and the sermons, they will go and buy their own lunch. If they don't like what's on the menu for the day, they'll go buy their own lunch and come back and sit through it just so that they can have the opportunity to see the sermon. I also have people coming to me afterwards. This one guy came up to me and said, this was great. I can't wait until next week. Can I borrow that for the week? Which really touched me. And also the guys that I would think would be so opposed to it and they'd never want to participate in this, they're the ones that have come in and really enjoyed watching and hearing this sermon and DVD. Overall, it's really brought us together. It's changed the whole atmosphere. Everyone's attitude has changed, and I believe that it's directly related to this L squared over L. As a business owner, God's given me a unique opportunity to minister to those in my company. I'm not a professional preacher, but through L squared over L, He's given me an opportunity to minister to those that I love and care about.
It's a light. He's not a preacher, not a speaker. Cared about the people that were in his company. Went out on a limb, did something unusual. It's being a light. So here's the question, then we're finished. Tomorrow, when you go to the office, if you're a Christian, you are a light. Now, you may have had your lamp under a bucket, and every once in a while go, boop, boop. but basically, you know, but what was that? You know, nothing, you know. Why'd you say that? I don't know, you know. Butter, you know. But here's the question. What can you do from this point on? What could you change? What little thing could you tweak so that you begin to function as a light? That people would see your good works and glorify, that is, associate them with your Father in heaven. Imagine what would happen in this area of town. Imagine Buckhead and Alpharetta and Roswell and Dunwoody and Sandy Springs. Imagine what would happen if we got aggressive and creative about being a light. Forget what happens in church. Imagine what would happen in those dark places. If we were to open ourselves and say, God, you show me what to do. It just may be something I change in my behavior. It may be a book. It may be an invitation. It may be a thing on Friday mornings. Imagine what would happen if we went out and were a light in this dark world. That's what we've been called to be. That's why we became Christians, because somebody was a light to us. So here's the challenge. You are the light of the office. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. A person doesn't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. In the same way, let people see your good works and associate them with your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for John. Thanks for his testimony. Thanks for Jim. Father, thanks for just many men and women in our church who just get this and just go for it. And they're so creative. And Lord, there are others of us, because of our personality, we're just reserved. It's hard for us to get there. Give us the courage to take a step. Give us the courage to be in the office environment, what you have created and called us to be, a light. And then show us how to implement that. And Father, I pray that as in John's case, we would see enough fruit, we would see enough result, that we would be motivated and encouraged to keep on being what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to North Point Ministries' podcast of Taking Care of Business by Andy Stanley. For more on this topic, visit northpointresources.org and receive 30% off Andy Stanley's book, Choosing to Cheat. Enter POD30 at checkout to redeem this offer.